Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before the sealed judgments, the two introductory chapters were chapters 4 and chapter 5. Before the seven trumpet judgments found in chapter 8 and chapter 9, you have the introductory chapter, and that is chapter 7. And before the seven vow judgments that you'll find in chapter 16, you will find also introductory chapters that will prepare and explain, especially to God's people, not for the sake of the unbelievers, for the sake of God's people, how they ought to see and understand the nature, the attribute, and the kind of God that Christians have. You'll find in the seven vow judgments many chapters which would include 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 to prepare us for the last and final gasp, as it were, the final climactic wrath of God that will pour down, emptied upon this sinful, wicked world. So the book of Revelation is not that too difficult to apportion, so that we will have an overview of the entire book, of the book of Revelation. And that will give us a proper context. As we study chapter by chapter, we must not lose sight of the entire book, because it is a very special, precious book. Because this is the only book out of all the 66 books where God clearly, explicitly tell us that if we study this book and we know this book, we will be very much blessed. Chapter 7 focuses on believers, the saints, two groups of saints. Both these group of saints will be going through the 7 years of great tribulation. Both groups. And so it is a very comforting chapter. A chapter that ought to bring into our hearts solace, comfort in the midst of great turmoil, even in the face of the wrath of God, even when the Antichrist rules in this world in the future. God's people will always be cared for. God will always remember us. Sometimes when we go through difficult moments, like when we are told by doctors that we have cancer, or we are told by our boss that this morning you don't need to come tomorrow, you have been retrenched. We feel as if God has forgotten us. God doesn't care. Where is God when I need Him most? And we murmur, we complain, and we indulge in self-pity, failing to realize how gracious and how merciful our God is. We have forgotten Him time and time again, but He has never, never for a single moment will He ever forget His people. Be encouraged, be comforted when we study Revelation chapter 7. The wrath of God is about to come. The angels are all ready to do the will of God, to allow the wrath of God to begin. Verses 1, 2, and 3 are the introductory verses to this chapter. After these things, I saw four angels standing. Standing means ever ready to do the will of God. Not seated down, but standing. That means we are ready, Lord. The moment you give the green light, it will come. They are standing at the four corners of the earth. That means the whole earth will be involved in this final judgment that God would send, holding the four winds of the earth in control, describing the power and the sovereign nature of the wrath of God. Man will be utterly helpless to prevent it. Satan will not be able to stop it. God is in control of every event and the timing of the event. And the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. So the primary purpose of this punishment will be upon mankind, humanity. And I saw another angel. So another angel that is of the same nature as these four angels. So that would be a good angel. The meaning of the word another means another of the same kind. Just like when Jesus says, I will send you another comforter. Another comforter like whom? Like me. Exactly like me. The way that I have comforted you when I was on earth, I'm going to send you another comforter who is exactly like me, who will comfort you, who will help you, who will aid you, who will encourage you, the way that I have been encouraging you and helping you. Two different Greek words. I will warn you. Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, if anyone, whether he be an apostle, an angel, who will preach to you another gospel, which is not another, that means another different gospel, which is not another gospel of the same kind. Two different Greek words, same English word. Let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. In this case, it is another of exactly the same kind. This angel will give a totally different message. He will tell them to hold on. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, where was John? Isles of Patmos. East would be from which direction? Where would the east be from John's perspective? Please look at your notes. Page 2. Okay, describe the momentarily restrained, where you have a description of the four angels standing, and then you have in page 3 another angel from the rising of the sun, the east from John's perspective on the Isles of Patmos would be toward the land of Israel. The land where God's promised salvation came through Jesus the Messiah, and from where the 12 tribes of Israel came, members of which are about to be sealed. Page 3, somewhere in the middle of that page. So it would be from the direction of Israel, having the seal of the living God. That means he comes in the name of God himself. And he cried with a loud voice to all these four angels to whom it was given the power to hurt the earth and the sea, to punish mankind. And he gave this message to these four angels with the seal of God, with the credential of God as his authority, not his own. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until when? Until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So please wait, hold on, until God's people have been very carefully protected by God. After that, then let the wrath of God begin. Not yet. Hold on. You see the comfort and the care of God for his people? Now the rapture had already taken place. But there will be, during the great tribulation, some people would be saved. And we are told here in Revelation chapter 7 that out of all the Israelites who will live during the Great Tribulation, 144,000 of them would be specially sealed or protected by God. Now the word sealed there would be used time and time again in these next few verses. That is to emphasize the surety and the certainty of their protection by God. So when the whole world will have no food, no water, God's people will be provided with fresh air, with food, with water. Somehow God will look after these specially protected, sealed individuals. 12,000 from each tribe. And the tribes are all listed there, mentioned for us to describe for us the certainty of the event. That's the care and concern of our God for his people. They will be sealed, and these are the people who will go through the tribulation in this body. They will survive in this body. And they would belong to the group called the sheep and the goat, because there will be the separation after the battle of Armageddon, after the Lord Jesus Christ comes down from heaven riding on his white horse with millions of angels and raptured saints supporting him. He will defeat the Antichrist, and the false prophets will be sent straight to the lake of fire. Satan will be sent to the bottomless pit. And after all these have been done, there will be a time of separation between the sheep and the goats. The book of Malachi, the last few verses of the book of Malachi, tell us that there will be a period. Daniel chapter 12. There will be a period of about 75 days. The first group, 30 days, followed by 45 days. During this period, the whole earth will be recreated again. Now, some of these are not in your notes. Please don't look at the notes. Will be recreated again. The temple, millennial temple, will descend from heaven and it will come down onto Mount of Olives, Jerusalem. And then there will be the separation of the sheep and the goat, because not everyone will be at the battle of Armageddon fighting against God. So the goats will be considered as unbelievers. Other parables are used to describe the same thing, like the wheat and the tares, where the angels will come to do the separation. There will be the separation, for example, of the good fish and the bad fish. Now all these are similar parables teaching the same thing. Separation. When will this separation take place? At the end of the second coming of Christ, just before the millennium. There will be a gap of 75 days. 30 days and 45 days. Cleansing of the temple, coming down the temple, recreation of the world so that it will become like the days before Noah's time, where people will then begin to live for hundreds of years. And then there will be the separation of the sheep and the goat, and these 144,000 will belong to the sheep. And they will enter the millennium with this body. And this is the body that will still have the sinful nature. And this is the same body that will still have the ability to procreate. And they are going to have children. And their children and their children's children are the ones who will not believe. So much so that at the end of the millennium, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit, and then he is going to gather again one final time from all the four corners of the world, all those who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he will rule on earth in a perfect environment, an environment without sin, without Satan, without demons, but man will still be there with the sinful nature. There will be a lot of outward observance, obedience, but no inward faith or change or transformation. These would be the descendants and children of these 144,000. And at the end of it, one final battle, they will surround Jerusalem and Christ will destroy all of them, and they will face the great white throne judgment at the end of 1,000 years. This will be the group who will enter the millennium with this body. And there will be death still in the millennium. So much so that the Bible says if a person dies at the age of 100 in the millennium, he would be considered as a child. Because the people then will live 800-900 years. This group, 144,000, who will be saved. In my opinion, they will be saved at the tail end of the 7 years of great tribulation. Finally, ultimately, after they go through the seven trumpet judgments, the seven vow judgments, they will realize that truly the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they today reject, is indeed the Messiah, the Anointed One, sent by God to die for their sins. And they will believe. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, if you are careful enough, you'll realize that two tribes are missing from this list. The two missing tribes would include the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. Why are these two tribes not included? Because in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us that the people from the tribe of Dan would be there, because Ezekiel, the last 5-6 chapters, give us the description, the detailed description of the millennial temple. And the 12 tribes will be given the location where to sit, where to make camp, where to stay, where to be positioned during the millennium. And the Danites will be given a place in the millennial kingdom. But they are not included in this 12,000. What happened to them? And another tribe that will not be, that is not mentioned here, is the tribe of Ephraim. Now, I believe that perhaps the reason why the tribe of Dan was excluded was because of one thing that the tribe of Dan did that the rest of the other tribes never did not do. And since this is directly in relation to the promised land, that is the millennial property, that each of the 12 tribes will be given a portion. The one sin that the tribe of Dan did was in the days of Judges, they were the only tribe that despised the lot, the portion of the land that God gave to them. The other 12 tribes, no matter how terrible they sinned, they never committed this particular sin. They never despised the promised land that God gave to them, that they were supposed to have for perpetuity. They're not allowed to sell it. And this was drummed into the heads and the minds of the Jews since birth. So much so that even when they were very idolatrous, like King Ahab, he wanted to buy the property of Naboth. Naboth told him, I can't sell it to you even if I want to. It's passed down to us and we are forbidden to sell it to anybody. We can't. And even if you get into a terrible debt and you have to let someone take your piece of land for a season of time to pay off the debt, the person will take your land, the person will till the land, will farm the land, and whatever produce he gets out of your land, it will become his. But after a certain period of time, the land will inevitably be given back to you. And if the debt is too large, God had provided the Jubilee year, where every debt will be cancelled, every property will be returned to the original owner. So God had already made sure that you cannot sell this land. That's why Naboth said to Ahab, you cannot buy my land, I can't sell it to you. And Ahab simply accepted it as king. And so he went back and sulked and mourned and he could not eat and he showed a long face, remember? And his wife, Jezebel, not from Israel, up north, Syrophoenician. What did she do? What's your problem, king? You are king, don't you know that? You want the land, you just get it. Trump up charges, kill him, remove him and take it. Now she had no concept, no idea of the historical significance of the promised land. Ahab did, even though he was an unbeliever, an idolater, all these things were drummed into them. Dan despised the land that God gave to them. And so during the days of the judges, 600 fighting men, they took their families and they packed up and they moved up and they pick and choose what they wanted. And they went all the way up north beyond the Sea of Galilee and they attacked and destroyed a peaceful people. And they captured them, turned the whole city and named it after Dan. And I believe because of what they did, they despised the land that was given to them, they will not receive the seal, the protection from God. That means they will go through and they are going to experience the punishment without God's special protection. But what about the tribe of Ephraim? Ephraim is not mentioned. It is replaced by Joseph. Joseph is the tribe that is named them. Manasseh is mentioned earlier in verse 6. But Ephraim is missing. Now, Ephraim did nothing of the sort. So why was Ephraim missing? I believe Ephraim is missing because of this reason. In Genesis chapter 48, when Jacob blessed Joseph and said to Joseph, your two sons that were born to you in Egypt by the name of Ephraim and Manasseh, I'm going to adopt them. That means when I adopt them, they are going to be given the same rank as all your brothers, Joseph. That means they will be given a tribe each. But any other children that will come out of your loins, they will be yours. They're not going to be mine. But they will be given the privilege to stay whether in Manasseh or in Ephraim when it is time for them to occupy the promised land. So that means all the other children of Joseph, they will have to choose because there is no tribe named Joseph. They will have to choose either to stay in Manasseh, that is half a tribe on Transjordan, the other half in Cisjordan, remember 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of Jordan, and the other half, 9.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan. Or you can stay in Ephraim. Because Ephraim is missing, my proposal is that the descendants of Joseph stayed in Ephraim. So that these 12,000 from Joseph would make up, will come from the descendants of Ephraim as well as the descendants of Joseph. And Joseph being the father, I believe that's why they are called the tribe of Joseph. That means it is a mixture of the descendants of Ephraim and the descendants of the children of Joseph. That's why these two tribes are missing. And some of you may be wondering, what about Gentiles? Alright, there will be 144,000 Jews who will enter the millennium, but will there be Gentiles who will come to believe during the millennium with this mortal body who will enter the millennium together with this 144,000 and the Danites and our Gentiles? Well, there are a couple of passages in the Bible that you find in page 4 and page 5 where we are given some clues that most likely there will be Gentiles who will also believe during this great tribulation. For example, Isaiah 2, verse 2 and verse 4, the words in bold, "And all nations shall flow into it." This is a description of the millennial kingdom. Micah 4, 1 to 5, "And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." This is also a description of the millennial period. Likewise, Zechariah 8, verse 20 and verse 23, "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord during the millennium, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself will rule on earth." Because one particular promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15 has not yet been fulfilled yet. That would be the boundaries of the promised land that will be given to Israel, all the way right up to the river Nile, all the way up north to present day Iraq, as far as the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as well as the present Jordan territory. Not at any time in the past history of Israel, not even in the days of David and Solomon, did any king rule the promised land according to the boundaries that God has set. And so that particular promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15 remains to be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled during the millennium, where Christ will come down and he will rule in Jerusalem. There will be a millennial temple that will be there in Jerusalem. And the boundary then of the promised land will be according to Genesis 15. And people will come to the mountain to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Many nations, strong nations, many people. So these are indicators that perhaps tell us that there will be Gentiles with this mortal body who will enter the millennium, who will believe, and they will be part of the sheep. Now these few verses in chapter 7 up to verse 8 talks about believers specially protected by God on earth. But from verse 9 onwards, the view will now be shifted to heaven, to another group of believers. Same group of believers who will go through the tribulation, but this particular group would be found in heaven. So before God would open his trumpet judgments that will pour down his wrath during this great tribulation period, he still remembers his children. Those who will be on earth during the great tribulation and those who will be in heaven who have gone through some periods of the great tribulation. Verse 9. "The unnumbered multitude, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Palms signifying worship. Clothed in white robe, believers. The robes here refers to a full length robe. These long radiant white robes are the same ones worn by the martyrs in chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 11. Now chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 11, the proposal was that these would be the raptured saints, the saints who have gone through the first resurrection. They would be us before the great tribulation. This particular group will be another group of saints, also given the same kind of robes. That means they are definitely 100% believers, but a different kind of believers. These are the believers, the Bible says in verse 14, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation." So the Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 11, where the believers will cry for the justice of God, how long, O Lord, how long before your justice comes? The raptured saints, you and me, truly, genuinely born again in heaven, crying for the justice of God. And then in chapter 7, these are the believers who will die for their faith during the Great Tribulation. They are the ones who will be mentioned here. God still cares, still protect. God knows exactly what is happening to His people, even in the face of impending judgment. The comfort and care of our God for His people. Do not doubt it. Do not question the presence and the comfort of God in your life. The palm branches is always associated in Scripture with celebration, with deliverance, with joy, with thanksgiving. Victory, palm branches. And so they're all holding in their hands victory. We have arrived. We have come home. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. This was their song. This was the song that came from their lips. They died for their faith, but they are now in heaven with palm branches, praising, thanking the Lord. Salvation to our God, who now sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Wonderful, isn't it? The security and the safety of believers must never be doubted nor questioned. This is our hope. This is the basis that will help us look at every trial and adversity in its proper perspective. This world is not my home. My salvation, no one can take it away. They can take my life, they can take my freedom, they can take everything that I own in this world. But they can never, never take my salvation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Father always knows best. He will always care for me, look after me, take care of me. Even if it means I go to prison, even if it means I die, the Lord will always be there for me. Because absent from the body, present with the Lord. The care, the concern, the protection of God, His children must never, never question, and we must never doubt. And the angels who stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. Remember the elders? Who are the elders? The 24 elders representing the raptured and the millions of saints, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, that is strength, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. On page 8, right at the top, there is a bit of a comparison. The comparison is with reference to earlier in chapter 5, where you had the same kind of praise, first from the saints, then from the angels and the saints in chapter 5, verse 13, and here you have in chapter 7, verse 12, all the angels stood round about the throne together with the elders and the four beasts, and they all fell before the throne, and all of them worshipped and thanked God. What is the difference? In chapter 7, verse 12, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Amazing, isn't it? These are all the saints who have died for the faith. And what do they have in heaven to say to the Lord? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God simply because they died for the Word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have so much to thank God for. So very much. And even in the face of death, God's people in heaven have one thing in mind. Thanksgiving. Sure, all the rest would praise God for His wisdom, for His power, for His glory, but to thank Him. We are supposed to be a thankful people because grateful people are always thankful people. That's why we come to church for worship, to thank Him from our hearts. We give tithe and offering as an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving. We give of our life and our time of service because of thanksgiving. Because when we arrive in heaven, we will have so much to thank God for, because now we believe by faith. But when we arrive there, we're going to see everything in its glory, in its power, in its might. And the first word that comes forth from our mouth would be thanksgiving, even when our lives on earth are cut short. Thanksgiving. And one of the elders answered, saying unto John, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said to him, "Sir, thou knowest." See, John himself saw and he recognized, these are white robes. And he said to me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robe and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They are believers who now die during the tribulation, and immediately they will be resurrected. That means the first resurrection is not a dot. The first resurrection is a continuous line. It has a beginning. The beginning would be at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ's last trumpet will be blown and we will be raptured, those who are alive and those who have died in Christ. All the New Testament says they will be resurrected. And from that time onwards, it will continue on. Any believer who will die for the faith will experience immediate resurrection. Like all these saints, they died during the Great Tribulation and now they are in heaven with the white robe, exactly like the raptured and the glorified saints earlier. So the first resurrection is not a full stop, it is a continuous line. So anyone who dies during the millennium who is a believer will also be resurrected. But then you may say, well, if people die during the Great Tribulation and they are resurrected, they're going to see so many miracles. Won't they come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may ask? Or even during the millennium, they're going to see the wrath of God. They're going to see so many things, because later on you're going to read about the two witnesses doing many miracles. One of them would be Elijah. Why won't they believe? Do not forget two things. Number one, even in the midst of all these miracles, when people die and they'll be resurrected, Satan will be doing his counterfeit miracles. You read that later on. The Antichrist, the false prophets, they are going to be so accurate in their copycat. He will be killed, or appear to be killed, and he will be raised back from the dead. The statue will be able to speak for the first time, an idol that have eyes that can see, mouth that can speak for the first time. He will exhibit tremendous counterfeit miracles to challenge the miracles of the two witnesses, to confuse and to confound. Second reason, do not ever forget that people are saved not by seeing miracles. People are saved by the grace and the mercy of God. Because if by merely seeing miracles, experiencing and tasting miracles, people are converted, then there should be more than a handful of people at the crucifixion of Christ. What happened to all the multitude that were fed by the miracle of Christ? Where are all the people who have seen blind people given new sight? Lepers were healed. Dead people come back alive, to life again. What happened to all of them? They all disappeared, because people are not saved by looking at miracles, at the supernatural. They are saved by the grace and the mercies of God. And do not forget the counterfeit miracles. Then, that will be very, very real and very, very powerful in its influence. Today, it's the same thing. Many voices, many claims of miracles. And we are confused. We are confused because we are affected by the miraculous. Do not be. Do not be affected by the miraculous. Just go by the word of God. Cling on to the word of God. These people held on to the word of God, and when they died for the faith and they refused to allow the mark of the beast to be on their forehead or on their right hand, God says, they are victorious. They are now at home. And all that these people realize, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, praise and glory and might and power to God Almighty. These are the saints. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night. Where? In His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. What temple is this? How many temples are there in the Bible? How many temples? excluding the tabernacle, you have Solomon's temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Then you have the returnee temple, that is a temple that came after the exile. Zerubbabel's time, Ezra's time, Nehemiah's time. A very poor reflection of Solomon's temple. And this same temple will be renovated enormously by Herod because he wanted to please them. And that would be the renovated temple during the time of Christ, which will be destroyed in AD 70 by General Titus. And then there will be temple number 3. We do not count the renovated temple. It's still under the exilic temple, the return temple. Then the third temple would be this tribulation temple. The tribulation temple that will be built during the 7-year period, where during the midpoint, 3.5 years, an abomination of desolation will be placed inside this temple. And so watch out for the return of the rebuilding of this temple. It will last only 7 short years. And then there will be the millennial temple. And this millennial temple now exists in heaven. It will descend onto the earth when the millennium begins. And this is the temple that they are found in right now, when you die in heaven. The millennial temple. And this is the same temple that I believe Habakkuk refers to when he wrote, when the Lord taught him the importance, salvation is of the Lord, the just shall live by faith. And so he penned these words which we sing in this church. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. What temple was he referring to? The temple that is in heaven. And you find this in Psalm 11 verse 4. He's not talking about Jerusalem temple. When we sing this hymn, we are not talking about Jerusalem temple. We are definitely not thinking of this temple of ours. We are also singing the same verse that Habakkuk penned, thinking of the millennial temple in heaven. That the Lord is in control. He is still ruling in heaven, in control of everything that is happening on this earth. So all the earth keeps silent before him. He is still ruling in control. And this temple is the millennial temple, temple number 4. Because in the new heaven and new earth, at the end of the millennium, you study in Revelation 21, there is no temple. No temple in eternity, only a new Jerusalem. So there will be only 4 temples in the entire Bible. And this is temple number 4. And they shall hunger no more, God will feed them, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, because they will have the glorified body. They will not be affected by all these earthly phenomena. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What tears? God will erase them. Tears of regret, perhaps. Tears of, I wish I had done a little bit more in reaching out to that person. I wish I could have witnessed more. I wish I could have served more. I wish I could have prayed more, studied the word more. Regrets. And God says, I will remove them. I will wipe away every tear. Every tear. So when they arrive, they will be filled with thanksgiving. And God will care. The comfort of the saints before the wrath of God. God will never forget us. The problem is, will we forget him? Will we remember him? Will we remember him tonight before we lay down to sleep? Will we remember him tomorrow when we begin a new day? Will we remember him the following day? Because he will never, never forget us. Even when the world is about to be completely destroyed because of sin, because of the Antichrist, because of Satan, God still finds time to give us chapter 7 to comfort us. I will protect my own in ways that you could never imagine, because I love you and I care for you more than you could ever know. Don't ever doubt my love and my care for you, God says to us tonight. Derive much comfort from his promise. So when we go through difficult moments in our life, whether it is the loss of loved ones or health or jobs or material things, your Father who feeds the sparrows, who feeds the birds, he will always feed us, care for us. No matter how far away our children may be from us, if they are God's children, your Father will care for them, protect them and look after them. Do not fret, do not worry. Your Father cares for them. Pray for them by all means, but pray believing that your Father loved them more than you could ever love them. Your Father will protect them and care for them much, much more than you could ever care for them. Trust Him. Because of the comfort of the saints promised by God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness, for the promises that Thou hast given to us in Holy Scriptures, that no one can take us out of the Father's hand because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one can separate us from the love of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Heavenly Father, may these be our comfort and strength as we live in the last of the last days, as we face many, many trials and temptations and the burdens and the cares of this life and the enemies that will continue to attack and undermine the faith. May Thy children, may Thy people find much strength and comfort in the knowledge that we have a most caring and wonderful God, who will always protect His own, nurture and feed His own. O Lord, may we constantly seek Thee, pray to Thee, and trust in Thee, that come what may, Thy will always be the best for us, even if it means incarceration, even if it means death. Help us to know Thy love for each one of us. For Jesus' sake, hear our humble cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.